Thank you very much for the special message and song. What a name. And the whole world needs to know about Jesus Christ and what he's done for each of us. Thank you, Fellowship Baptist Church, for the opportunity we've had to be here. We certainly appreciate you all. I love you all. My wife wants to say thank you to the church for the special gift that was given to her. And we had a great day of rest. I don't ever remember a day that I've been home or been away that my phone rang only one time. That is unbelievable. The Lord knows when you need a little break. And outside of getting some lunch today, I'm well rested, so I have no excuse tonight. So if I fail, it's just I just failed, okay? It had nothing to do with being tired or anything. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much. Thank you, church, for taking on the Johnsons. We love the Johnsons, special family. They have represented the Lord. They have represented Crossroads Baptist Church and in a very, very special way. They're special to us. They've done a good job, and thank the Lord that have the privilege of just being a part of their lives all of these years. Now, because I have a special relationship with Fellowship Baptist Church, I'm telling you all, have any problems with the Johnsons, call Pastor Emeritus or call the senior pastor, Pastor Kenny Baldwin, and you have an open line if you want me to give you my cell phone number, and it will ring, and I'll answer it. I won't block it, and just let us know if you have any problems with them. And I'm saying that right in front of them so they'll know his wife's dad is a deacon in my church, and so you got that, Brother Freeman? You've got it all down, okay? So we certainly thank the Lord. Thank you all for letting us be a part of your missions conference. I hope you're praying about your faith promise, commitment to the Lord. We're in difficult times now, but we have a God who still wants to reach the world, and I hope you'll be faithful. I love missions, and since I've got involved with Faith Promise, I've increased my giving twice a year for some 40-some years now for the Lord. It's the largest financial endeavor that I have. And, you know, no matter how much I increase, God blesses more and more every year. So you can't go wrong being involved in God's program. Money equals souls, and that's what it's all about. And the Lord has a lot to say about money, so I trust that you've given of yourself and your substance here for the cause of reaching the souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to preach for a passage that God's been dealing with my heart about the last several weeks here. And I want to share this, and then I want you to think about the thought of this passage and how it applies, would be applied to your life if you serve the Lord and give to the Lord of your time, talent, and treasure of yourself and just have the right vision and understand what it's all about. We're living in difficult times. I make no bones about it. I believe that missions is spiritual people. I have seen over the years that until you get to the point where you love God and you love what God is, the flesh and the devil and sin will beat you down. But as long as you have a heart for what God has a heart, he'll use you and he'll give you resources, take care of you. And we've lived that. You live long enough like I have now. I've lived long enough and saved long enough to know that if you do what God tells you in his word, then he will come through. And so some things you just get by experience. And I found out when I got saved years ago, 47 years ago, I believed the Bible. But it's one thing not only to believe the Bible, but then to be able to see the Bible work in your life as the Holy Spirit has recorded it. And missions is one of those things you can't go wrong being involved. I appreciate Brother Thompson. I appreciate the staff and the folks here that work so hard to make missions what it is. And thank you all for coming out here and being a part of it here. And I trust that God will challenge our hearts tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for our message tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And once you find your place there, I'm going to read several verses there, and then I'm probably going to just mention a few other verses as we go through the message here. But I really want you to think tonight and about this thought from this great Apostle Paul as he was writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're physically able to stand, you follow along with me as I read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1. For ye know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this missions conference. Thank you for the missionaries, the Delaneys, Lord, tonight, and their burden, and I pray you'll bless them, meet every need, give them wisdom, direction, and guidance in their life. Thank you for the Johnsons, Lord, leaving tonight. I pray you'll bless them. Thank you for this local church that loves missions and, Lord, love missionaries and their love for this family. And I pray you'll bless them as they travel and meet every need that they have. Thank you for Fellowship Baptist Church, for the pastor, the missions team, the people that are here tonight, those who've come out for service tonight. Thank you for this week and all that you've done. I pray, dear God, now that you would take me as your servant, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Apostle Paul, in the verses I just read, was going through a stage in his life where he had a little heavenly homesickness about him. Paul was thinking about God. He was a great servant. You in chapter number 4, that entire passage there, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he talked about, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. He realized that what he was doing for God was a ministry that he would do. Give himself totally to. In verse 7 of chapter 4, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. He understood that he was human, but he was carrying a precious treasure of the gospel, and he had a responsibility of getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Later on in chapter 4, he talked about the persecution he was facing and all that he was going through. In the last two verses of the chapter, verse 17, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul had something I think that we all need to have when we understand that we have a ministry, we have a responsibility. We're involved in something that's dear to the heart of God, but we are flesh. We are earthen vessels. We are perishing. We are going through hard times. We do face trouble in this life. I mean, to get the gospel out requires sacrifice and diligence. And sometimes it's wear and tear on us, but it's the greatest work that anyone could ever be in. And Paul says, I'm not motivated or just stirred by what I see here or earthly. He said, you know, when I get depressed, when I get down, when I'm fighting, when it seems like things are really tough, he says, I look beyond the earthly to the eternal. You know, every once in a while it's good to have a good old Holy Ghost fit, thinking about all you have in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to realize that I was once lost on my way to hell. I got redeemed by Jesus Christ. And now I have an opportunity to be involved in the greatest work that any saved person could ever be involved in. That's getting the gospel around the world. That's why we have missions conferences. That's why we have people leave this wonderful country and go to different places. But you know, the longer you do it, the older you get, all kinds of things happen. We get sick. We get to the point in our lives where we get broke and we lose our jobs and so many things are going on. And the old slew foot tell us you ought to give up and this isn't worth it. It's time to retire. It's time to quit. And then all of a sudden, you start thinking like Paul said. Yes, I'm going through a difficult time. I'm living in this earthly vessel. But he said in the first verse of chapter number 8, for we know. He said, let me tell you something. There's some things we know. We know that this earthly vessel that God has given me to do the greatest work that I could ever be involved in, it's perishing, it's getting older, it's getting worn down, and someday, though I'm not really looking for it fast, like my mom used to say all the time, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Y'all get that? We're not running out trying to kill ourselves. But Paul says, I'm real about this. And as I'm at this for a long time, he says, I recognize that God who saved me, God who gave me this great treasure in this earthly vessel, decided to use me here on earth in a temporary tent that's just kind of temporarily here. And so what I'm doing for God today, I'm doing it in this earthly vessel. And if it were to be dissolved, if this vessel were to end at any point in time, Paul says, I'm not worried about it because I know I have an eternal vessel, a glorified body someday that I'm going to be with Jesus forever. That's what he says. We know that. Let me tell you something. If you're saved tonight, you ought to know that. You ought to know that God chose to call me to be a preacher, and he called me to be used in this earthly vessel. And for you, those of you who may not know, when you're 77, sometimes you have to deal with Mr. Arthur. Anybody know anything about Mr. Arthur? We have to deal with Mr. Arthur. Sometimes you have to deal with sight and all kinds of things going on. But God knew that. So Paul says, we know that if this earthly vessel were to dissolve, I have an eternal one, not made with hands, but made by Almighty God, where body and spirit will live with him forever. But he says, but I'm groaning. I'm groaning for that heavenly vessel that one day I'll have And right now, I'm just kind of longing for it, but I have confidence I'm going to have it. And notice he says in verse number 5, "Now he that hath wroth us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." Now here's what I want you to get and understand. Paul says, I'm preaching, teaching, witnessing, suffering in an earthly vessel. But that isn't bad, because he says, the eternal one I'm looking for, I'm confident that I'm going to get it, because God gave me an assurance that I can use while I'm down here in the earthly one. It's called being sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, this earthly vessel that I'm preaching from that gets tired and has arthritis and all kinds of things going on, but it's not bad. It's still good, because I have the Holy Spirit of God that reminds me, no matter what happens to this one, I'm guaranteed that eternal one. Amen. And that enables me to do something. I can walk by faith and not by sight. And he says, if it dissolves, I know I'm going to get the eternal one because of the assurance of the Holy Spirit. I can keep on preaching, keep on doing what I'm doing, keep on going to the mission field by faith and the Holy Spirit of God. So you know how I assess this earthly life that I'm living right now? It's good. It's good. Amen. Now, if it were to be dissolved, he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, you say, I've got this earthly one that I gripe and complain about and can't figure out what to do and don't know whether I should do it and don't feel like doing it and always complaining about it. But when I look at the fact that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, who ministered to me so I can minister to the other, and allows me, when I see things not being exactly what they ought to be, I can walk by faith. So here's how I sum up my life. No matter what condition I'm in, when I'm serving God, it's good. But if it is dissolved, there's another life that tells me to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. That means if I died before Jesus comes back, the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to have a spiritual life with Jesus. I got a good life. And if it were to end, I got a better life because I'm going to be with Jesus. But he's still longing for that glorified body that's coming if the rapture takes place. Body and spirit, we're going to be with the Lord forever. That's the best life. So he says, I got a good life. And by the way, he's being persecuted, all kinds of things, about to face of death. But he wasn't griping about the life. He says, it's pretty good. I've got the Holy Spirit to guarantee me the eternal life. If I'm absent from the body, and that spiritual life is what God chooses, it's a better life. If the rapture takes place, or even if I go into the grave and he comes back and body and spirit is joined with him, I've got the best life. I have absolutely nothing to gripe about when my life is good, better, or best. That makes sense? A good life God has chosen to give me what I need to serve him, has assured me that if this old tabernacle were to be dissolved before he comes back, I've got a better life because I'm going to be in his presence. And I have a permanent eternal life that I'm going to have forever. And he says, when I think about that, I have just decided how I'm going to live until that happens. Until I'm absent from the body, or until the rapture takes place where I have my eternal body, right now, God has chosen to let me live in this good life. So I made up my mind in my service to him. Here's what I'm going to do. And I want you to look at what he said in verse number 9. Wherefore? What's this therefore? Well, he's talking about that good life where he's got the assurance of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about he's walking by faith. He thinks about what he's been promised to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But he's longing for that eternal body, whether he's that glorified body where he's going to live for the Lord forever. So he says, while I'm here, here's what I have decided I'm going to do in serving him. Verse number 9. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. The Paul said, I've got my head on straight. I understand some things. I understand I'm preaching and I'm planting churches. I'm doing it all in this temporary tent, but I'm passing through. I have something in my heart that assures me if it's dissolved, I'm going to have a better life because I'm in the presence of the Lord. But I'm longing in my soul to have that glorified body with him forever. So I've decided what I'm going to do, whether present or absent, I want my service to be accepted. The word accepted means well-pleasing to the Lord. Hey, let me tell you something. We're in a missions conference. We're going to make missions decisions. I personally believe, as a born-again child of God, there's nothing I do that's more important that I should want to win the approval of God. I want to bring a smile on his face. I want him to look down and look at me as a preacher, as a church member, as a husband, as a father, as a child of God, as a missionary. I want him to look at me, and I want what I do, what I say, how I pray, how I give, where I go. I want it to be well pleasing to the one they sang about. The one who we preach about. The one who the Bible talks about. That's why I do what I do. That's why I go where I go. That's why I want to be what I am. There's a God in heaven who loved me enough to redeem my soul. And then allow me wonderful privilege of serving him. So whether it's the good life or the better life or the best life, I want it to be well pleasing to him. Have you ever thought about how can I be well pleasing if I'm absent from the body and present with the Lord and stand before the judgment seat of Christ if I haven't been well pleasing down here in the earthly life as a preacher, as a church member, as a missionary, as a child of God? Now, I just kind of believe that if I'm going to get one of the five crowns in heaven, I don't think I'm going to get it when I'm in the spiritual life waiting for the glorified body to take place. I don't think I'm going to get it. I don't think God's going to have a little place there in heaven where we can earn a crown. You believe that? I think if I'm going to get it, I'm going to probably have to get it down here in the good life. In other words, where I am today, I think I'm going to have to earn it by what I do with my time and my talent and my treasure in my local church. Paul says, I think there's something needs to happen down here that's well-pleasing if I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be well-pleased. Oh, I'll be okay with my soul. Jesus took care of that on the cross. But when it comes to my work, when it comes to my labor, when it comes to the crown I need to cast at Jesus' feet, I believe it's going to happen in the good life. No matter how I feel, what I'm going through in life, all that I face, I believe I'm going to have to lean upon the Holy Spirit, get stirred up, because I'm assured I'm going to get it one day, but I believe I'm going to have to earn it down here. So I want to just challenge you tonight, tomorrow, whenever you make your commitment to missions, to world evangelization, I want you to have this thought in mind. I want to make my commitment to missions. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your prayer. I'm talking about what you can do. I'm talking about being a good team member. I'm talking about having a good vision. I'm talking about serving in my local church. I'm talking about trying to keep people out of hell. I want my missions commitment, whatever it is, of giving self and substance and giving my service to the local church. I want God to look down from heaven, and I want what I do to be well-pleasing. One who's commissioned me to do it. That was Paul's philosophy. And that's what every man, every woman, every boy and girl needs today. I want my service to be well pleasing to the Lord. Not just the preacher, not just somebody else. I mean the one who redeemed my soul. I want it to count for him. Three things I want you to see very quickly. I get to preach it. I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's because I'm not preaching as regular. I get these long introductions here now. I used to be zip, 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 zip. Right, Leland? What's going on here? Must be age. I just got through the introduction. But I'll make the points quick and direct. How do I take this life that I'm going to commit to missions, that is reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And let me tell you something. That's why you're in a good church. You don't come to church, or you don't just do what you do just for you. You're to be mended so that you can minister, and through that you mature in your Christian life. You can't be more committed to anything than the mission of your church, because Jesus died for the whole world. And he uses his local church to reach the whole world. And we are privileged to be a part of that. So Paul did that. Paul, what was your philosophy? What did you do in order to serve in a way to make missions commitment of self and your substance to the Lord? You've got to make that your supreme aim in life. It's got to rise to the top. That's what I live for. That's what I pray. That's what I do. I want to make sure what I'm doing is supreme. Now, what should be our aim? Let's listen to the man who wrote this passage, and I'll just quote some verses. You don't have to turn. Our aim ought to be what he said in Philippians 1, verse 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He was saying, Christ shall be magnified in my body. You know what he's saying? He said, I want people, hear me, look at me, see me, and my life should come to the point where I should touch other people in such a way that Christ is esteemed and praised by the people who see me and hear me. That ought to be my aim. I want to be bold enough to stand for Jesus. I want to witness enough. In other words, I want people to see Jesus through me in such a way it would esteem them to see how great my God is through what they see in me. Paul says, that ought to be my aim. And he says it ought to affect my attitude. He said that in my life first, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, my attitude ought to be, and by the way, here's the attitude. It ought to be my sinful life where I was headed to hell has ended. I'm no longer under the curse of the law. I'm no longer a child of Adam. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that in the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, they ought to take a look at me and say, I am what I am because it's not me living, it's Christ living through me. That ought to be our attitude. It ought to affect our actions. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2:5. I ought to be imitating Jesus Christ. I ought to have a selfless mind, a sacrificial mind, a serving mind. That's what I ought to be. That ought to be my aim in life, whether present or absent. After all, I have a good life. I have a guarantee of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to one day have a glorified life. And if in between I go to the grave, I'm going to have a spiritual life in which I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Therefore, I ought to make it my supreme aim, that seen in my aim, my attitude, and my actions. And then secondly, he says, If I'm going to make a commitment that is well-pleasing to the Lord, I have to decide to make it a supreme aim. But then he says, we labor. I ought to be willing to put forth some strenuous effort. You know why I ought to work hard, even if it wears me out? If I have to take long hours to do it? Because I want to bring a smile to the face of Jesus. I want him to see me. I'm trying to please him. And I put forth this strenuous effort to get it done because I know if it's accomplished, it's going to please him. And that's the honor that I want in my life. If I'm going to do that, if I'm going to work in a way that's going to please the Lord, then I need to cultivate some things in my life. I need to stop looking at all the problems I'm facing in life. And I need to look and see what he has in store for me. A glorified body someday in heaven. If I leave before he comes back, a spiritual life, I'm in his presence. But I can't complain about the life I have down here in this temporary tent I'm living in. Because I have the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that glorified body. And I can walk by faith, so I'm going to put forth the strenuous effort. So I'm going to look at myself. I'm going to examine my life. I'm going to take a look at what we're dealing with just this week alone. I'm going to make some commitments, but I want those commitments to be well-pleasing to him. And therefore, I'm going to have to cultivate my life some, make some kind of changes. That means I may have to make some decisions. Like Joshua said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I may have to kind of cultivate myself until I decide, I don't care what anybody else is doing, this Jesus who gives me this good life on earth promised me this better life if I die and guarantees me that best life someday because I'm a child of God. I'm just going to decide, regardless of what everybody else is doing, I'm going to have a commitment to him that's well-pleasing. I may have to make some dedication like old Nehemiah did when he said in Nehemiah 6:3, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while if I leave it and come down unto you? Building the wall was a great work. Nehemiah says, though they asked him four times, why should I leave the work of God and come down? Missions is a great work. Why in the world would I ever stop giving and going and praying? Why would I ever not want to be that which is dear to the heart of God? This is too valuable. I'm going to decide to be dedicated no matter what's going on in my life. I'm going to cultivate my life to make that kind of a decision. I may have to discipline myself like Paul said. He was running a race in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Christian life is a race. And sometimes you have to discipline. I have to keep my body and bring it into subjection. Don't let anything happen in my life that's going to take me away from the commitment I made to the Lord. I think it's going to take some concentration. Paul believed that anyone who wanted to please Jesus Christ, you got to fight for it. You got to have some strenuous effort. It's going to be cost us something. I think about David. When David, in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, he said this, "Neither will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, of that which doth cost me nothing." Anyone who understands what he's doing for us now, what he's promised us in the future, ought to be able to say, "Let it cost me something. My God is worth it all." And if I can't figure out how I'm going to make it in life, maybe I need to be a little bit more dependent, like Paul said when he talked to the church of Philippi. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I want my life, I want my commitment to be well-pleasing to the Lord. I've got to make it a supreme aim. I've got to put forth some strenuous effort. But then thirdly, and very quickly, he said, whether present or absent. He said, whether present or absent, I'll make it a supreme aim. I'll put forth some strenuous effort. But if I'm going to make a commitment, if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to have a life that is well pleasing to the Lord. Now listen very quickly, and I'll be quick and end this. I've got to be willing to sacrifice the externals for the eternal. I've got to believe that what God has in store for me ought to be worth more than me, than the external things I have in life. And I'm going to close by giving you a few things that people who make commitments in their service to God ought to be willing to do when it comes to the externals versus the eternals. He said, first of all, ought to be willing to sacrifice my possessions. You know, the Bible teaches God owns everything. Job said this. Nobody lost any more than Job. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." To have what he has in store for us, to provide what he gives us in this tent that we're living in, it ought to be there is no possession that means more to me than being well-pleasing to him, or to sacrifice my possessions. I won't be stopped by any kind of promotion. Promotion comes from the Lord. To bring it down to where we are, I'm not going to let any job, any position in life cause me to not serve in a way that's going to be well-pleasing to him. You know how many people stop serving God, stop giving, stop finding time to pray, stop finding time to give or resources to give or come to church or be faithful, to be in leadership or even go to the mission field, is because they are in positions. If you're going to be well-pleasing, you can't be stopped by positions. I won't be stymied by pride. I'm not going to let my pride stop me from being the best I can be for God. Peter says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time."
Every once in a while, we need to put aside some pride. The Lord's worth that. I'm not going to be slowed by problems. We talked about that by being on the team. We shouldn't let problems stop us from keeping our commitments to Almighty God. And we certainly should not be smeared by some personality that says, I can't do it. I'm not talented enough. I'm not smart enough. Oh, let me tell you something. God told Jeremiah, I knew thee when you were in the womb. And don't tell me what you can't do. You need to do what I tell you to do. And I've been thinking about that. And really, all of us think a lot about this life here on earth and what we're going through. If you're a Christian, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, physical, financially, this life is a good life. I'm going to say that again. You're a Christian. This life is a good life. This time you can say amen.
Amen.
All right. It's a good life. I mean, I need to look to the eternal and stop looking around at the externals. Look at what God has in store. We don't have to try to figure out how good God is. I mean, it ought to be, if I'm saved from hell and promised heaven, that ought to be good enough. But God didn't stop there. He said, I've got it all mapped out for you. You've got a good life. I gave you the Holy Spirit that assures you of the best life. If something happened before I come back and give you the best life, you got a better life because you'll be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Therefore, make your aim, that includes your attitude, your actions, be strenuous. Make some decisions. Make some determination. Learn how to depend on Almighty God. And stop looking around at the externals and start saying, I'm looking forward to the eternals. Therefore, I will not be stopped by promotion, by pride, by possessions, personality. Nothing is going to stop me from being faithful to my commitment to Almighty God, because I want my service, my commitment to be well pleasing to the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer.